I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Township Zoning Commission, dates
Mr. Leff?
Here.
Mr. Moore?
Present.
Mr. Antonetz?
Here.
Ms. Walsh? Mr. Welch?
Here.
Mr. Welty?
Here.
And I will note, Mr. Bishop did inform me he wasn't going to be able to make it tonight.
Okay, thanks. Can you turn your microphone on? Are you going to participate? You got to hold it down.
Might need a new battery.
Oh. There it is. It's on. He's got to hold it with two hands. Okay, for the record, for those that are listening, with us in attendance is obviously Joe Schaefer, Director of Development, Paul Benson, our Zoning Secretary, and also with us is, could you introduce yourself? Yep.
Mark Fowler from the Delaware Prosecutor's Office.
All right, welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. I think in order to not keep Mark here any longer than necessary, do you want to jump in front of here and kind of explain why we got here?
Well, I think we can once we jump into the hearing itself.
So he's going to participate in the hearing?
Yes, he's here for the hearing. Yes, he's here for the hearing.
All right. Okay, so we're going to call the following hearing to order at 7.05 p.m., Romanelli and Hughes Building Company requesting approval of a rezoning and preliminary development plan to construct 30 lots on approximately 21 acres located at 5481 Worthington Road, Westerville 43082. The parcel number is 317-230030100. A vacant lot currently zoned rural residential, seeking rezoning to planned residential development, ZC case number 2020-04. This is continued from our last meeting of October 13th, 2020. At this point, I'd like to swear in anyone who anticipates to participate, comment, question.
The applicant unmuted, Paul?
Hello?
Hi, Joe.
We got a big issue for me,
though. Okay, is that Joe?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Great. Just for the record, the following exhibits were updated and resubmitted. Exhibit D, revised plans, received October 23rd. Exhibit F, staff technical review dated November 2nd. Exhibit G, staff memo dated November 2nd of this year. Exhibit H, all public comments received between September 3rd of this year and November 9th of this year. Joe, give us a staff report and update.
Yes, and for the sake of brevity, I'm not going to give you the entire report again. I'm just going to touch on the stuff that changed and any new information for you. And that's all the material that was highlighted in the memo that I presented. So I'm just going to jump to page 2. Regarding the acreage tabulations, if you recall, there was some confusion regarding sort of the acreage breakdown of this project due to the right-of-way dedication and whatnot, and the fact we've got actually two different rezoning requests for one tract going on. The applicant has updated all that acreage information. Their information basically mirrors what I have here in the table. Staff's happy with that. Regarding the open space, if you recall, some of those numbers weren't correct because of some incorrect methodology using and how they would be calculated, as well as the acreage sort of confusion that I just mentioned. The applicant has revised the materials and now has demonstrated that they would be compliant with both the open space and common open space percentage requirements. Open space perimeter setback requirement. You'll note that I had in one of my previous comments at the last meeting, they just needed to add a setback measurement from the proposed SR rezoning lot, because technically the PRD buffer requirements is 100 feet from that new SR lot. They've done that. They've shown that it's going to be over 100 feet away from the any PRD lot, so they are now compliant with that standard, so staff no longer has any concerns about that item. We do now have letters confirming that public sewer, public water, electricity, and gas are available to the site, so that's been cleaned up. Regarding the traffic study that was submitted to the county engineer, I just added a note that the engineer did approve the document with a notation on September 21st, 2020, so the county engineer is happy with where things are at with traffic. Per the applicant, the detailed street design confirming complete zoning compliance will be provided at the time of final development plan submission should this application be approved. That's perfectly fine. We don't expect in-depth detail at this stage of the review process. And they're going to have to follow the county standards regards to street design probably anyway, so really immaterial. Regarding the, there was a comment in here about, again, the open space. Comment I2, page 4, is just noting that that has been addressed and is now taken care of. I've added a comment on here at the previous hearing. The applicant discussed adding possibly some mounding along sort of the eastern border of the site to help with some of the off-site runoff that the storm system might not catch. So they have identified mounding on the landscaping plan along that eastern edge of the PRD, so that's good. Regarding the stormwater issues and the concerns that the neighbors to the east and the south have had, sort of building on that topic, the applicant did provide additional correspondence between themselves and the county regarding these issues for your review. It's Exhibit N1 in your packet. And the applicant has agreed to provide additional information regarding compliance with county drainage and stormwater runoff regs at the time of final development plan submission. I think they intend to get to the county as soon as they can, should this process go forward in their favor. And once they go to the county, get all that information, and they come back for final, they'll have all that information, detailed information for you. I should note, I did have a discussion with Mr. Luby today, and he can talk about this more during his part, but I am of the understanding the applicant did meet with reps from both neighborhoods to the east and to the south. And based on those conversations, it sounds like Mr. Romanelli has, I don't want to speak for exactly what he told them or not told them, but the gist of it is I heard they are happy with the things that he told them. So the applicant certainly can sort of expand upon that, but it sounds like things are moving in a positive direction. Mr. Romanelli has some good correspondence and working with the neighbors to try to hear their concerns and see, you know, what possibly he could do about them. So I'll let the applicant more in depth on that because I don't know what words are going on. Some miscellaneous items. It was mentioned during the last meeting. Originally, we said there was going to be no lighting on the site. The applicant has decided they do want to do the coast lights at each unit. No concerns there. There's no compliance concern. I'm just updating the memo to note that they're going to do the coast lights. A note has been added to the plan text indicating that enforcement of architectural design criteria and standards will be the responsibility of the condo associations, so that will not be something that zoning staff has to review or enforce at the time of permitting. That's generally how we like to do it.
We let the plan sort of decide what the plan feels like is best for them architecture-wise.
Under the divergence section, under item C, what my response to the request about not doing the sidewalks along that certain portions of the plan was that they at least provide a sidewalk along the western side of the entrance street off of Big Walnut Road to sort of match how the other plans were treating their entrances, and they've agreed to do that. So they have now added that sidewalk segment, so staff is appreciative of that. And regarding the window well divergence request, they did revise the request to include a statement that the encroachment will not exceed 4 feet. So just noting a slight revision to the divergence request regarding 160804 of the resolution. Moving on to the cluster mailboxes, if you recall, there really was no planning for them in the first set of plans we saw, and staff recommended that they make they incorporate some sort of preliminary design should they need to do them and be required by the post office. So they have illustrated on the plans that they would provide such an area along the north side of the private street that runs adjacent to units 24 through 30. That's the non-hydrant side of the street. It will be serviced by sidewalk and 4 parking spaces, one of which is handicap van accessible. The applicant may want to consider additional amenities adjacent to the cluster mailbox area for safety and comfort of residents, such as a bench, waste receptacle, street or pedestrian lighting, and/or a shelter over the boxes. A crosswalk and or sidewalk should also be considered to provide a designated pedestrian route to the boxes from the units within the plan. I will note in the applicant's revised materials, they did note that they intend to provide more details regarding the cluster mailbox design and amenities at the time of final submission, should they get there. So I think right now they just sort of want to reserve the area and sort of show you generally where they're going to go and then flush out the details of any amenities or any further pedestrian improvements at the time of final, should they get there. There was a comment about on-street parking being designated on the non-hydrant side of the street. That clarification has been made. That is the plan going forward. Staff recommended some sort of formal community gathering area, recreational access, asset, or an internal trail system. Again, this is one of those items they're taking under advisement and plan to address further in more detail at final submission, should they get there. Staff's comfortable with that response at this stage in the game. Regarding additional landscaping that I referenced near units 6 and 7, if you recall, this is sort of down where the old farm pond is, and the expansion of the stormwater pond. The recommendation essentially was, if that's going to be an amenity, it should be landscaped like an amenity, but also if it's going to be more utilitarian, it should also be landscaped like a sort of utilitarian pond. They try to de-emphasize the view of it right there at that corner. Again, that's details that they would intend to look at further. I did have a comment in here about the which iteration of the zoning resolution would apply to the final, and that's why council's here this evening. Currently, the applicant has an attached that they would like the version of the zoning resolution that they applied for under rezoning, the February 2019 version, to apply to the final application and any subsequent. Staff's position has always been that while the rezoning is entitled to the February 2019 version of the resolution, because that's what it was applied for, but the final zoning plan application is a separate form, separate fee, separate application process that requires more information, and that historically we've always required final plans to abide by whatever resolution is in effect at the time the final application is applied for. So admittedly, that's a bit of a conflict in with the language that's currently in the preliminary development plan text. So that's why I have Mr. Fowler here this evening to answer any questions or should that issue come up or be part of the discussion this evening. And I'm sure the applicant may have maybe information they want to put on the record here as well for the commission to consider. So I'm going to leave that at that. Moving on to the technical review. I know the commission was concerned about the number of comments in the technical review at the last meeting. I think you'll be happy to see that a lot of the commentary has been struck out and addressed. The first four comments are just divergences. That's just how I note the divergence has been requested. So that's not an open item that needs addressed. It's just purely how I show that something technically was compliant, but they've asked for a divergence. There was a slight error in regards to the text color, the red and black, that I called out. A hyper-technicality that's not a compliance issue that I know the applicant could get cleaned up should this application go forward to the board. So it's not something I would foresee needing to stall proceedings any further just because of that issue. Comment 14 in regards to the sign regs. And this is admittedly probably a little bit of final development plan item, but I did only call it out because in their text they cite that they qualify for some of the signage bonuses, and the text sort of alludes to the fact that there's additional information in the text that's supposed to support their statement that they qualify for the bonuses, but it's never been there, so my comment has always been you just need to provide us that information. It didn't make this latest round of revisions, but in my discussion with Joe Luby today, I'm confident that they fully qualify for the signage bonuses. So now it's just a matter of purely a housekeeping item. They just forgot to include it in the submission. They didn't want to submit anything to you the 11th hour, but I have no concerns and don't think it would be something that would warrant stalling proceedings over at this juncture. Again, I think it's one of those things they can easily clean up with their submission to the board. So you don't see that part of the process. So usually what happens is after things get done with the zoning commission, based on the recommendation and any outstanding comments, the applicant usually does clean up and tidy up some things and then submit us new copies to give to the board. And so it's entirely possible that really small housekeeping stuff like that will get to the board
commentary there was starting with 16 is all just informational comments for yourselves and the applicant. There's no action items there, so don't think that there's still a bunch of open comments there.
Right.
It's just information. Same with the divergence review, just information. Sign review, again, basically the remainder of the comments in this is all just informational. None of it's outstanding. So I know sometimes it looks like there's still a lot for them to do, but there really isn't. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will wrap up my presentation and hand it back over to you.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Okay, at this time we will open up discussion with the applicant. They're with us.
Well, this is David Fisher, Council for. This is David Fisher, Council for Governor. We worked hard with Mr. Tuff through the week, being with his comments, reviewing the summer, the technical review of the application.
Yes, please.
Good. Okay. This is David Fisher, counsel to the Romani News. I simply stated a minute ago that we've been working with Mr. Schaefer over the last couple of weeks since our last hearing on the matter, and we agree with his report. We think it's complete compliance now. We hope that the commission finds no issues remaining or outstanding. Happy to answer questions you might have.
Okay. For the record, the commission that the public comment was previously opened and closed during the October 13th, 2020 meeting regarding the application. In the meantime, we did receive some follow-up emails that I think we've asked the applicant to address. It seems to be the biggest problem issue is the impact of stormwater on the adjacent properties to the east and to the south, which we got comment from both the condo and the homeowners association's concerns. I guess I'd like to know a little bit more about what the follow-up was with the applicant and those property owners, and if the property owners are satisfied with whatever the resolution was. I don't see anything in here in detail about the impact to those neighbors and what provisions are being provided. So if the applicant could address those for me.
Yeah, I can speak to that. This is Joe Levy, and
we'll be
on site with Vince Romali, John Romali, and three representatives from the neighbors. And we looked at the pond issue, and there's some erosion and bank stability issues along the west side of the pond where it's adjacent to the walking path. And then we walked over to the storm outlet where the 18-inch storm outlet is at Highland Lakes to the south of us, and met with folks that are there and looked at that issue. It's actually pretty good. We've been there for over an hour all told. And I'll just say at this point, Vince and Johnny agreed to work with the villas to come up with a solution and to assist with a solution. And it's something that we don't have the details on that, we're not sharing them right now, but I felt like at the end of that meeting, both parties were happy with the direction it was going.
Okay, so there's no detailed design alternatives that you're proposing other than what's in your application?
Correct.
Do we have any comments from any of the residents on following that meeting, and are they expressed written or formal concerns or?
I don't think I received any additional commentary. I don't know what day they held their meeting, but I have not received any commentary lately. And I think the last email we got in regards to that subject came relatively early on, two or three days after the last meeting. So my guess is the meeting that they had with the neighbors happened relatively recently, and we haven't received any commentary from the immediately adjacent neighbors. We did receive one public comment from someone who doesn't live immediately adjacent to the property, but most of the commentary wasn't regarding the stormwater issue. It was regarding some of the divergence requests and some of the open space numbers. I have forwarded all that information to the engineer. I think the engineer's office is essentially of the position that when the time comes for them to submit to us, we will review the materials and hold them to the required standards that we have to hold them to. So I just don't think they're ready to opine on anything because they just haven't received it, and they want their process to play out in there. And I think that's a reasonable position for them to take.
Yeah. Do we know, are any of those previous comment from the public, are they online here at the meeting? Okay. I think for the record, it's worth noting that those that have commented about their concerns about stormwater management have not bothered to attend the meeting or participate. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment too? I mean, I think overall, just in comparing the work that we've just done to upgrade the zoning resolution, I think it also becomes a slippery slope if we try to right wrongs that may have been there prior to this project. And I'm not saying that we're doing that, and I think obviously we want to work in the best interest of the community and the township, but I think to the point that Joe had made, a lot of these would be brought up if there were any issues when the engineer looks at the actual plan submitted. Am I reading that correctly? Because I don't think that it is the developer's job, unless he so desires, which maybe he does at this stage, to regress and rework a retaining pond for other projects, if there is definitively not an issue brought up that would create a problem. So I think I see this, frankly, and I'm now more than anything speaking with my fellow cohorts here as kind of a gray area when it comes to these types of issues. That's my take on it.
And the applicant does essentially have to enter into any kind of agreement with the surrounding property owners outside of our process. I think that's the route. I'm sorry. The applicant does have the right to sort of enter into
sort of agreements and whatnot with surrounding property owners outside of the zoning process that we may not necessarily be privy to, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes, I mean, especially when it's private disputes between private property owners about essentially non-zoning issues, the solution should be a private solution among the surrounding property owners outside of the zoning process. So to me, I think the route they're going down makes actual sense, especially when it's regarding drainage and stuff that my staff would have not the expertise to go out and enforce and inspect. I think it really is a better process to be played out at the county level through the engineer's review and amongst the private property owners to remediate amongst themselves. And it sounds like things are, again, headed that direction.
Yeah, I concur with you, Charles. I'm not inferring that this developer should be responsible for remedying all of their stormwater management problems. Frankly, I was unclear about whether some of their stormwater management problems weren't part of their own development, had nothing to do with the off-site. I don't think this off-site has anything to do with the erosion of their pond. That's probably a maintenance issue of theirs. I just want to make sure that they are on the same page. You know, if they're having issues, I want it to be clear to them that this isn't impacting their issues, that their issues are their own. So if the applicant and these residents are having this discussion and they're all on the same page, that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think we've done our job in terms of informing people sort of what is and is not involved in this process, especially I think Mr. Antonich, you made some really good clarifications on that really during the last hearing, sort of what this is and was not.
Right. Okay, well, we are at the commission discussion phase, so if any other members have any other comments or concerns, Dave?
I think we think most of them are everything we've been addressed that we asked for. So, and it's cleaned up and it's to a point that we, I think it's reasonable.
I would agree.
Chip, anything? Concerns, questions?
I still have concerns over the drainage, but it sounds that we don't have jurisdiction over that issue. So, I mean, I'm not convinced that, as I said in the last hearing, that what they do on their property isn't going to make worse what happens on other properties. I realize that the other properties, the adjoining properties, have their own drainage issues, their own water control issues, but I'm not convinced that this development won't negatively impact adjoining parcels. And I disagree from the extent that about righting past wrongs or whatever, because you know, part of our justification for divergence is that we're not creating any greater issues. I mean, that it's for the public welfare and benefit of Genoa Township, and I'm not convinced that we've gotten there. That's just my two cents.
I'm just going to speak as a professional. That's what I do.
I'm not the engineer. I'm deferring to your unbiased expertise.
The county stormwater management code is very detailed, and it is designed to reduce, if not eliminate, adverse impact to neighboring properties. That's part of the stormwater management. So I'm confident that if they're what they're proposing goes through a formal, detailed review by the county engineer, they will not get away with discharging more than what's coming out of there now.
Okay. I appreciate that. I mean, I'm not an engineer.
Yeah. I guess at this point, I think we probably should ask the client if there's discussion about the potential of the impact of changing the resolution at the final development plan, if that's a concern of theirs, and if it is, do they want a discussion with the prosecuting attorney or not?
This is David Fisher. This is David Fisher again. I don't think that we need to have that discussion, and I am happy to have a conversation with the prosecuting attorney offline about that. We went through this a while back on another zoning where there was a change in the code. But I would suggest that between now and when this gets to the trustees, I'll have this conversation with the prosecuting attorney and get this resolved. I will tell you, our view is that the act of zoning, which this is a legislative act. A final development plan approval is not a legislative act, it's an administrative act. To the extent your code changes between when we have the legislative act of zoning and the final development plan, we think that it's the zoning code in effect when the legislative act occurred, which would be when the trustees vote on this and the 30-day referendum period passed. I'll give you two examples. What if your new zoning code changes the density calculation? What if your new zoning code changes setback regulations? Those have all been established as a consequence of the legislative act of zoning once, assuming the zoning is adopted and approved by the trustees. But once again, I think these are legal issues, not issues we need to discuss and spend time on tonight. I'm happy to talk to the trustee attorney and resolve this between now and when we go to the trustees, if that's acceptable to everyone.
This is Mark Fowler from the prosecutor's office. I agree with Mr. Fisher that it's not something that needs to be definitively determined tonight, but there was some concern because there was language in their preliminary development plan that indicated.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear Mr. Fowler probably correct.
Sorry, my battery died. Okay. I just said that I agree with you, Mr. Fisher, that it doesn't have to be definitively determined tonight. At this stage in the process, it's something that will have to be determined later. But the one concern that I had was that there was language in the preliminary development plan that indicated that this was the legal rationale or the legal conclusion, and I didn't want there to be any confusion that somehow the Zoning Commission had granted a divergence agreeing to that. And so I would just ask that language be taken out, and then we can hash it out later, but that way there's no confusion that this board is granting that now.
That's fine. So I'm going to be able to understand we will be would be before it goes to the trustees.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yep, that sounds good.
Okay, where is that specific language you're referring to so we can discuss that?
It is in the
development
text.
Second paragraph on the first page of the development text. Sounds like the applicant's comfortable with essentially moving forward without that language, at least at this hearing, and having those discussions with the prosecutor's office in hopes of getting it a final resolution on it, or at least one way or the other going into the board meeting. Which
that's fine. We reserve the right to continue discussions with Mr. Fowler, but for tonight's hearing, so that the zoning commission isn't put in an awkward position, we're happy to take it out. I would have Mr. Fowler, can you give me a phone number where I can reach you in the next couple days?
Certainly. The number to my desk is 740-833-2701. 2701, yes.
Thanks. That's for not giving me.
Okay.
Perfect.
As far as staff's concerned, I'm comfortable with that approach as well.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion?
Just from an internal perspective, before we get to divergence review and we get to the facts and finding collusion or conclusions, is there anything specific that we want to call out there, or is it just reference to the technical review from Jeff?
I don't know. Is there a need to have
that facts and findings address this?
To remove it, it's not something you have to address.
Okay.
We'll catch that discussion in the minutes to document it. And on the audio.
Okay, good.
And there's been nothing else side on the side agreed to, Joe, in the other discussions that we have not discussed publicly at this point?
No, I think we're all okay there. I think you were at the point maybe the divergence review, I'm not sure. But it sounds like I haven't heard any concerns about any of the divergences that are out there by the public or really the commission. We did have one member from the public who opined on some of the divergence requests, but they were not an adjacent property owner. And I forwarded that to you already for your consideration.
Okay. Any further comment? Anybody want to offer up a divergence review?
Okay. Yes, Mr. Chair. The Commission reviewed each divergence request against the standards set forth in Section 916.02.L of the Township Zoning Resolution to determine if such a request is warranted. Section 916.02.L states specific statements of divergence shall be requested per plan if any deviation from this resolution or existing county regulations or standards are desired. An applicant making such a request shall specifically and separately list each requested divergence and submit written development text justifying each deviation from any requirements of this resolution and demonstrating how each divergence will advance public interest and the general purposes of this zoning resolution by promoting one or more of the following purposes. Number one, conservation and protection of the natural resources, scenic areas, wildlife habitat, and the historical and unique natural features of the land. Number two, the health, safety, morals, and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Genoa Township. Number three, the quality of life within Genoa Township through the protection of the total environment, the prevention of nuisances and hazards, and the provision of adequate light, air, and convenient access to property. Number four, the assurance of the compatibility of land uses which are either adjacent or in proximity to each other. Number five, the orderly development of all lands within the township to its appropriate use. And number six, the most appropriate use of land to facilitate and provide adequate public and private improvements. Unless a deviation from development standards is specifically approved as a divergence, the same shall be complied with. Four, divergence number one, from section, divergence from section 903.01 to reduce the minimum lot size for a planned residential development from 25 acres to approximately 19.89 acres, parent approximately 17.13 after right-of-way dedication, and parent, I find, or would suggest the findings of number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all of the proposed or permitted justifications for divergence.
Okay. Divergence number 2.
Okay. For divergence number 2, a divergence from section 903.03.A.4 to reduce the required 170 feet of open space from the right-of-way of an arterial street to 170 feet from the center lines of Worthington and Big Walnut Roads, with 125 feet from Worthington Road right-of-way and 110 feet from the Big Walnut Road right-of-way. I would also cite factors 1 and 2, 5, 4, 5, and 6. Actually, all six for that same divergence request. Number 3, a divergence from section 903.10.A.1 to allow a sidewalk on only one side of certain portions of the proposed street. I would cite number 5 and 6 for that finding. And then for number 4, a divergence from section 1608.04 to allow window wells to encroach 4 feet into a side yard setback as long as opposing window wells will be no closer than 3 feet apart. I would cite number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 for that finding.
Okay. Thank you, Chip.
You're welcome.
I think it's probably also worth noting that these divergences, despite these divergences, that pretty much all of the natural features of this parcel will remain, including most all the trees and foliage along the west side, despite the setback divergence. Okay, having discussed divergences and reviewed, do I have a motion regarding this application?
And Mr. Chairman, I move to recommend approval of the following to the General Township Board of Trustees, the subject zoning map amendment application, including all plans and materials submitted by Romanelli and Hughes Building Company to rezone approximately 19.89 acres at 5481 Worthington Road, parcel number 317-230-30-1000 from rural residential RR to planned residential district PRD zoning case number 2020-04, incorporating exhibits A through H.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Chair.
Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Leff.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Ms. Walsh.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz.
Yes. Okay, motion passes.
The next item on the agenda is approval or
continuance or denial of the motion for
Mr. Chair, I move to recommend approval of the following to the General Township Board of Trustees, the subject preliminary development plan incorporated within the subject zoning map amendment application, including all plans and materials submitted by Romanelli and Hughes Building Company to construct 30 single-family condominium units on approximately 19.89 acres of property located at 5481 Worthington Road, parcel number 317-230-30-1000, formerly zoned rural residential RR and now rezoned to planned residential district PRD, zoning case number 2020-04, incorporating exhibits A through H and any commitments made by the applicant during this hearing, which were
none
at this point. I further move to recommend approval of divergences from the following sections of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. Number 1, section 903.01 to allow a planned residential development on property less than 25 acres. Number two, section 903.03.A.4 to reduce the required open space width of 170, that's 170 feet, from the right-of-way line of an arterial street as illustrated. Number three, section 903.10.A.1 to not require a sidewalk on both sides of certain portions of the proposed street as illustrated. And number four, section 1608.04 to allow window wells to encroach number four feet into side yard setback as specified in the plan text. And there are no additional findings and facts after that.
I second the motion.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Ms. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes. This concludes this portion of the public hearing. The time is
7:40.
What is it?
7:40.
7:40. Okay, the next item on the agenda is Romanelli Hughes Building Company requesting approval of a rezoning of approximately 1.127 acres located at 5481 Worthington Road, Westerville, Ohio, 43082, parcel number 31723003001000, a single family residence currently zoned rural residential, seeking rezoning to suburban residential. ZC case number 2020-05, continued from October 13th, 2020 meeting. Again, I'd ask anyone who plans to comment or participate to stand and be sworn in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Applicant?
We had to unmute them. Takes a second.
I do.
All
right. The following exhibits were updated for the record. Exhibit D, revised plans, October 23rd of this year. Exhibit F, staff technical review, dated November 2nd of this year. G, staff memo, dated November 2nd of this year. And Exhibit H, all public comments received between September 3rd and November 9th of 2020. Get a staff report, please.
Yes, again, I'll keep it brief. Just as a reminder, this is sort of a tag-along rezoning application to rezone the balance of this parcel to suburban residential where the existing home is, because the plan is to subdivide that lot, that section off of the parcel and sell it independent of the PRD. So it won't be subject to any of the covenants, plan, deed restrictions, anything we just discussed during the prior hearing. In regards to revisions, there really wasn't much that needed to be done on this application. In fact, all the comments in the tech review were all just informational. There was just really essentially one thing staff requested. They weren't required to do this, but staff requested that the pedestrian easement that they're providing along the PRD for future trail improvement, that they provide the same easement along the frontage of this property, so we could also eventually maybe build a trail along the frontage of this property. And they've agreed to do that. So they've illustrated that in the materials. I think that actually was their intent the whole time. Either I missed it or they just didn't put it on. Regardless, it doesn't really matter. They've agreed to it. So staff's content with that. So I have no other open issues with this application this evening. So I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, Mr. Luby, any comment, questions?
Mr. Chair, we agree. There was that one other item on the easement. We took care of that. We think that we're in order and have no further comments or concerns at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fisher. For the record, do we have any public comment come in for this? No? Okay. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to recommend approval of the following to the General Township Board of Trustees, the subject zoning map amendment application submitted by Romanelli and Hughes Building Company to rezone approximately 1.127 acres of property located at 5481 Worthington Road, Westerville, Ohio, 43082, parcel number 317230030001000 from rural residential RR to suburban residential SR, as illustrated in the submitted material, zoning case number 2020-05, incorporating exhibits A through H. No other findings or facts or conclusions.
I second the motion.
Roll.
Mr. Leff.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Ms. Walsh.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz.
Yes. Motion passes. This concludes this portion of the public meeting. Thank you, applicant.
Thank you very much.
Just for the applicant's information, I'm going to try to get this in front of the board for acknowledgement and schedule a public hearing, possibly as soon as this Thursday, although I don't have confirmation on that. So as soon as I know, I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, the time is 7:45. Any other business brought before the board?
Application-wise, today was the deadline for rezoning applications. We didn't receive any. The deadline for final plan or final plan amendment applications isn't until a week from today. If we don't receive any applications, does the commission have any desire to meet in December, or do you want to just give me the go-ahead and cancel the meeting if we don't receive any apps?
I'm not in favor of meeting for the sake of meeting, so just reach out to me when you get closer to the meeting, and
we'll do.
We'll send out an email.
We'll do.
Okay.
$60.
I'm sorry.
Spoken like a lawyer.
We will have a meeting.
Oh, you did.
We're supposed to get money. No, we voted to take yours and give it to us.
In a roundabout way, it kind of does give.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, any other public comment? There's no public comment. Next meeting, tentatively December 14th. I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned. Time is 7:46.